Let's pray together. Lord, help us, feed us, guide us, deliver us, empower us, be glorified in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'd like to bring a brief word of encouragement to you, encouraging you to confirm your faith. Now, the three ladies, are you taking notes? They might think that now that they've completed the confirmation years of instruction, they don't ever have to do that again. But let me encourage you three and all of you to note carefully what God is teaching us each week and develop a system for hanging on to the nuggets you receive. We believe that as the Word is open, God speaks and God communicates, and what He gives us, we treasure so highly we keep it safe. If you were walking along and on a gravel road and suddenly saw a gold nugget, I'm sure you'd stoop and pick it up. And then you'd find a place to keep it so it didn't just get lost in the clutter of your pocket or your things on your dresser at home, but some place to keep it. And that's how we treat the nuggets God gives us as we read His Word, as we listen to His Word, as we seek Him. What He says to us, we keep, we treasure. Confirmation is a process of us saying yes to what God has done and then making sure it's real. We live in a time between the death, resurrection, ascension, and pouring out of the Spirit of Christ. And when He finally comes again to restore all things, we're living in this in-between time. And it's a perilous time. It's a time when there's trials, when there's difficulties, when there's things that are real and things that are counterfeit. Because of that, we want to be people who are continually confirming that authentic faith is living in us and growing in us. Consider these words of instruction by the Apostle Paul to his young disciple Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. That doesn't look right as I turn to it. That's not correct. 2 Timothy. There we go. Verse chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. That's where we are right now. The last days. What will those terrible times be like? Look at this description that Paul gives us here. And think about whether this depicts the people you see, the culture you see on television or interact with or read about. Does this describe most of humanity? And as we read through this list, try to discern something. Are there really two groups of people in our world? Is this one group that's being described in the first paragraph? And are we truly part of the second group of people described after that? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. People will be lovers of money. People will be boastful. People will be proud. People will be abusive. People will be disobedient to their parents. People will be ungrateful. People will be unholy. People will be without love. People will be unforgiving. People will be slanderous. People will be without self-control. People will be brutal. People will be not lovers of the good. People will be treacherous. People will be rash. People will be conceited. People will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. People will be having a form of godliness but denying its power. And then his instruction to us, have nothing to do with such people. He goes on in verse 6. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, people who are loaded down with sins and who are swayed away by all kinds of evil desires, people who are always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. So this morning, as we confirm our faith, we first of all need to have a recognition that there really are two groups of people. It doesn't divide between by gender or ethnicity or political status or social status or the amount of money in one's bank account. The distinction between these two groups of people is this first group are rejected concerning their faith. They're rejected. They're not accepted into the family of God. They have chosen to ignore God. And young ladies, you've confirmed your faith today, but you're going out into a world that's dangerous. All of us are surrounded by these kind of people. The most dangerous ones are the ones that act to have a form of godliness on the outside. They might even call themselves followers of God. They might even use the term Christian to describe themselves. But when you investigate, when you look deeper, when you discern what's really going on, they are lovers of themselves, not lovers of God. As we think about the situation we face, we need to be aware and recognize, first of all, the distinction between the real and the counterfeit. There's counterfeit Christians out there. There's counterfeit people who claim to be followers of God. Recognize that distinction between real and counterfeit. Do so with humility. Pride should never seep into this. With great humility, we recognize the distinction between real and counterfeit. We do so with a love and a concern for the ones that are counterfeit. We don't hate them. We want them to come to a true, authentic faith and confirm their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our hunger for them, our desire for them. But it starts with recognizing. Ladies, recognize. Congregation, recognize. Those who are listening on the radio and on the internet, recognize between the counterfeit and the authentic. He goes on to say in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 10, you, however, he's talking about the other group now. The first group was rejected. The first group was lovers of self. But you, however, you know all about my teaching. And here's Paul describing his own teaching. Paul is saying to his disciple, you know about my teaching. What was Paul's teaching? You know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, my persecutions, my sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, what's he saying here? One group is rejected. You've seen authentic faith lived out. You've seen it as Timothy watched the Apostle Paul. Young confirmands and all of us, you've seen people of faith around you. You've been blessed with families of faith, with a church of faith. You watch, you observe, you see the distinction, you see the values that they live out. And in the midst of that, you let that example propel you to Christ. Propel you to Christ. Verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. As we confirm our faith, we cling to the Lord Jesus. We cling to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is in Him. It's not in the systems of the world. It's not in people who might have the outward appearance of godliness. Our faith even isn't in the people who have been our guide and our example, as the Apostle Paul is lifting himself up in front of Timothy. Your faith is not in your parents or the friends you have in church or your instructors in Sunday school or even in your pastor. Those can be used by God to help you so that you turn your attention towards Jesus Christ. Your faith is in Him. You're confirming that it's in Christ you're trusting. In Christ you're putting your faith. And then thirdly, not only do you recognize the authentic and the counterfeit, not only do you cling to Christ with your faith, thirdly, you immerse yourself in God's Word. One of the things that's thrilling for me as pastor, as I listen to the three ladies share their testimonies, is how the Word of God was central. They have learned the importance of the Word of God. They have built their life story on the Word of God. All of us need to confirm our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by immersing ourselves in what Christ said through His Word to us. We are people who immerse ourselves in God's Word. And the Scripture goes on here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's the Word of God in which we immerse ourselves so that our faith in Christ is continually corrected, continually brought into alignment, continually having our faith rebuked where it's off and brought into a greater understanding of God's truth, and actually training us in righteousness so that we can live out this faith now in ways that are effective, impactful for our own life, our own family, our friends. One of the reasons we do confirmation the way we do is we want these confirmands to know that they are now in a position, welcome into full adult status in the congregation, in which we need them to instruct us and point us back to God's Word. All of us want to be people who are confirming our faith each day by letting the Word sink in and then flow through us to impact the ones around us. Look at you, your circle. You're surrounded by people who need you to be immersing yourself in the Word and letting the Word ooze out of your pores to impact them. We live in these last days when there's counterfeit and real. We live in these last days when we need to cling to Christ. So because that's true, we who live in these last days need to immerse ourselves in God's Word so that we know it, it aligns us with His truth, and that it flows through us to impact those around us. We confirm our faith every day. We confirm our faith every week. We confirm our faith each year. We have a process of formal confirmation, but would you be a daily confirmand? Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we are fully and wholly and completely dependent upon You. As we live out our walk with You, surrounded by people who are counterfeit, we ask that You would continually refresh us. Continually renew our faith, continually strengthen our faith. May we be people who are aware of the distinctions between right and wrong, true and false, real and counterfeit. May we be aware of it. And may that awareness propel us to seek You. May we cling to You. May our faith be in You and may it grow. And Lord, use Your Word. Immerse us in Your Word. Fill us with Your Word. Rebuke us, correct us, instruct us, train us with Your Word, that we might grow in our love for You, our faith in You, and our effectiveness in living out our walk with You for Your glory. Amen and amen.
The wonder of it all, what a miracle. Your life You freely give, my debt now paid in full. How can it be? How can it be? You broke the bonds that held me once in slavery. Light has come and opened up my eyes to see. How can it be? How can it be? The light of Christ is stronger than the darkness. The cross of Christ releases all the captives. In your name we stand, in the name of Jesus. The Spirit of the living God alive in me, no longer captive to the fears in front of me. Your light in me, your light in me. The enemy is trembling at this victory. No death, no power, no guilt can have its hold on me. I've been set free, I've been set free. The light of Christ is stronger than the darkness. The cross of Christ releases all the captives. In your name we stand, in the name of Jesus. The light of Christ is stronger than the darkness. The cross of Christ releases all the captives. In your name we stand, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, light of the world. Jesus, light of the world. Jesus, light of the world. You rose from the grave. You rose from the grave. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You rose from the grave. You rose from the grave. The light of Christ is stronger than the darkness. The cross of Christ releases all the captives. In your name we stand, in the name of Jesus. The light of Christ is stronger than the darkness. The cross of Christ releases all the captives. In your name we stand, in the name of Jesus. In your name we stand, in the name of Jesus.